Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 071. We have a great show lined up for you today, a whole bunch of content today. I've been collecting a lot of news lately, so I decided to dispense with a lot of the stuff that I found, a lot of good stuff, and a return of an old section, so I hope you'll like it. First off, just wanted to say that this show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, hope everybody out there is having a great time. We're having a pretty good time over here. No co-host or anything like that today. We're flying solo, so we're trying to do the best we can. Like I said, we have a great show lined up for you today, a whole bunch of content. I mean, seriously, I think I actually went more than a little bit overboard on the tech tidbits. And those of you who download the show on Wednesday are going to actually notice that this is somewhat of an early edition of the show. I usually upload the show somewhere around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it's been more than a little bit hard on me to do that, still get up at the same time I'm doing, so I'm trying to do it a little bit earlier, get a whole bunch of things started. That way I'm a little bit brighter for the show, trying to, you know, provide you the best possible content. So might as well get right on into it today. Let's see. Oh yeah, first of all, we have plenty of great PodSafe music today from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have a special little treat for you today. It seems that either PodShow sold their soul to somebody, or I don't know what happened, but they started actually getting like bigger named artists. And this is not to doubt or be down on any of the artists that have been on the PodSafe Music Network for a while now, because I found a lot of great music there. But there's just something special about finding a song that you might have heard on the radio, or an artist that you already know and that people can identify with immediately, just from name recognition. So there's just something special about finding an artist like that on this kind of network. So it was, and the fact that I can legally play some of their songs. And so we have two great artists for you today. The first one is one of my favorite artists, George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Yes, I said it. And then we have one of the newer artists out in the scene right now. That's Fall Out Boy. Two relatively different styles of music, but I hope you're going to like both of them. First up, from George Thorogood and the Destroyers and the PodSafe Music Network. Never really thought I'd say that. I actually introduced a song from George Thorogood. That's still pretty cool. All right, so first up, from George Thorogood and the Destroyers, we have his new song, Hard Stuff. Let me know what you think. again, that was George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers with their song Hard Stuff. I don't know if they're actually called the Delaware Destroyers anymore. That should be something I should probably look into. It just says the Destroyers on the site, but I'm pretty sure that they were originally the Delaware Destroyers. Alright, figure I should probably fill you in on a couple things that have happened. I've actually started back to work after a 2.5-odd week hiatus. That was hard. Yesterday was my first day. Didn't affect me yesterday. Today I felt like I got hit by a truck. I mean, we do have it really good in the fact that, you know, Paul Jr. actually sleeps through the night for the most part. He sleeps from like 11 to 6, so he actually gets more sleep than I do. But that's just because I'm addicted to video games. But now, I mean, so it's been pretty good so far. I mean, we haven't had any problems or anything with him, but it's just been, you know, when you can take your time and go about all the little things that you do in the morning and everything. Like, for instance, I never cook breakfast in the morning. For almost every day that I was out, I had either pancakes or eggs or something that took just a little bit of time. So I've had yogurt the past two mornings. So it's kind of a little bit of a downer, you know what I mean? So I might try and get up a little bit earlier just to see if I could still have one of those good home-cooked breakfasts. I love to cook, so. Speaking of which, we actually have a couple recipes or a couple places you can find recipes in the Caffeinated Bits section today, so let me know what you think of them when we get down that way. But first up, I think we should probably hit it up with the Tech Tidbits section. Like I said, we're going to have our new section, the dialogue or vocabulary lesson, and then you're going to find an old friend come back a little bit later on. All right, well, first up in the Tech Tidbits section, we have a vocabulary lesson. There's a couple little terms around there. I already threw out some from the last week, or the last episode, you know, basically meaning noobs and stuff like that, you know, just people who are either new to technology or morons or idiots or whatever else, or, you know, just things that basically are in geek culture. So now there's a term that's found in some webcomics and in some actual geek-related comic books. One of them's the Bastard Operator from Hell. Another one's userfriendly.org. So I would heartily recommend that you go over to userfriendly.org. It's an awesome comic strip, especially if you're involved in the tech industry. But one of the terms they use is a clue-bat. What is a clue by four? It's what you use to administer treatments to LARTs, L-A-R-T. So, or that is also a kind of LART. I'm sorry, no one is a LART. A LART is a loser attitude realignment tool. It's something that you beat a particularly recalcitrant user with to get them headed in the straight and narrow. My old boss used to have this comic on his door that was a vast, huge machine in front of this guy sitting at a desk, and he was sitting there ready to type his password, and there was this giant mallet sitting over his head, and it said, "You better not type the wrong password." Well, under that, all the people in our department had gone under there and written little Unix jokes like Dev Hammer, Dev Monkey, and stuff like that, but still, that would be a LART. That would be a loser attitude realignment tool. In my office, I have a bamboo sword taped to the wall, stuck to the wall, and it has LART written on it, so whenever I'm having a particularly bad day, I just look at it and fondly think of what I could do if I was actually allowed to use it. Not that I would, but, you know, you just like to think that you might. All right, the next term we have up is one of the most commonly confused terms. It's noob and noob. Now, they're two different spellings, and they have two completely different meanings. So I figured basically break it down for you. Now, everybody has been a N-E-W-B at one point or another. It's a newbie. Newbie. It's somebody who's new to something, may not know exactly what's going on. They might just be just inexperienced at whatever it is. It means nothing derogatory, although sometimes people tend to think that if you don't know everything about everything, that you're a moron. But still, I mean, most intelligent human beings will actually, you know, go so far as to give you the benefit of the doubt for at least a couple days, hours, or whatever. Whatever the learning curve happens to be. The other kind of noob is an N-O-O-B. It would be somebody who, no matter how long they've been playing said game or doing whatever they're trying to do, they're just still pretty much a tool. They're just an irritating, like, itch in your side. Usually they will come out with comments relating to the next term we have here, leet, or L33T. Now, leet speak originally, at least from my understanding of it, came around when people who were Unix admins and everything were trying to create strong passwords. So, for instance, if my password was going to be Paul, P-A-U-L, Papa Alpha Uniform Lima, then I would change different letters in the different letters in the word to be numbers so that it would be more secure, because anybody would probably guess Paul, or they would even guess like caffeination. What you do is there's a certain set of numbers that you can exchange for letters because they look slightly similar. For instance, all E's are 3's, all I's are 1's, A's are at symbols with the little A with the circle around it. Depending on how bad you get with it, you can change all L's to 7's. I mean, you can get pretty crazy with it, but it's called leet speak, or it's something that's very popular in online chat rooms and stuff like that with a bunch of script kiddies. Another term that we don't have up there, but it's people who think they're hackers just because they go online, they download a couple scripts, they find a couple web pages that tell them exactly how to break into a system or do something, rather mundane, and think they're breaking into a system. They basically download this little program, they run it, and all of a sudden they think they're a hacker. Oh, wow, look, I broke your system by downloading a program. Yeah, that's not a real hacker, so don't even worry about that. But that basically sums up your vocab lesson for the day. There will be a test at the end of the semester, so don't worry about it. All right, next up we have... Oh, sorry. Before we get any further along, might as well just say that you can find this podcast, if you're listening to it on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, at www.caffinaton.com. You can email us, comments, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else you feel like doing, at caffination@gmail.com, and you can join our MySpace friends account over at myspace.com/caffination. If anybody out there has vocab words that you've heard people say or that you'd like to put out there, it might be a word you made up and you feel that, this really describes the term and or condition that I've been using it for. So please email us. We will definitely popularize your term and give you credit where credit is due. We've actually gotten a lot of really nice feedback from this. One user in particular left a comment over on my personal blog, which is at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. I kind of went off a little bit on some of the users that I've dealt with throughout my years as a tech support person. I mean, admittedly I'm not that old, but still. People get irritating relatively quickly, depending on how inordinately stupid they are. So, just wanted to leave it at that, and we'll move along. So, Dave, thank you very much for your comment over there. It was highly appreciated, and I know exactly what everybody out there is thinking. It's there's basically this look that you get in somebody's eyes when you're trying to give them help. It's kind of like a deer in the headlights kind of look, and you're not sure if it's because they don't know what they're trying to talk to you about, or if it's because they just don't feel like thinking that far ahead. So, all right, well, moving on from the dialogue section, I might have to expand that a little bit next week, but all right, well played, Google. In case you've been living under a rock for the past several days, Google bought YouTube. However, they're still keeping Google Video, which I don't really understand. Maybe they'll meld the two further down the road, but YouTube's also going to be the first company which they are going to keep in its entirety, complete with branding identity, so it's still going to be called YouTube, and complete with headquarters and corporate structure. So everybody who's already at YouTube is going to still be at YouTube. They're just going to be, I guess, making money off it. But then again, they bought YouTube for $1.65 billion worth of stock as of closing on Monday, I believe. Holy hell, that is a lot of money. So if I was those guys, I would probably hope that Google does nothing but good things with their creation, because it would only cause the stock options to rise that much higher. So we're not going to talk too much about that, because I really don't have an opinion one way or another. On the one hand, I'm like, all right, Google could do some really good things. On the other hand, I'm like, I kind of liked YouTube as it was, kind of like way back when. I kind of liked GeoCities, as crappy as it was. I liked it as it was, much better before Yahoo bought it. So my first website was actually on GeoCities, and I lost the ability to edit it after they stopped having a free web service, and it kind of ticked me off, so I stopped using Yahoo almost completely, except for fantasy sports. So, all right, let's see what else. Yesterday, or today, as the case may be, it was Patch Tuesday and or Wednesday for the Caffeination. 26 flaws, a record number not included with a service pack, was announced and fixed with Microsoft. So for everybody out there running Windows or some Windows derivative, or even if you're just running Microsoft Office, head on over to windowsupdate.com. There's a link in the show notes. Just go over there, run through all the updates relatively quickly. And, I mean, I think I downloaded them probably in about, 20 minutes on a relatively mild high-speed connection, which kept dropping out last night, but still. just do yourself a very large favor. Head on over there, download the updates, and forget about it. If you don't have your computer automatically set to receive updates, consider this your warning, and we'll see you next month. But still, all right, let's see. Ah, yes. Now, here's the next thing. I used to be a real big fan of Sony. When I got my PlayStation, I was like, man, this is an awesome machine, and it's so much better than the Nintendos and the Segas out there, because I like the idea that you can put more information on the discs. I like the fact that they were prettier games, basically. So, but still. All right, just looking on at some of the stupid stuff that's come out of the Sony camp recently. Australia exec for Sony called the Wii, the Nintendo Wii, a bit pricey. And this is in comparison. Wii's going to cost approximately Australian dollars, for Australian, $400, $297 US. And the PlayStation 3, meanwhile, which comes equipped with the Blu-ray player and all that other stuff, but is going to come in at $1,000. Australian dollars, or $743 U.S. dollars. Now, he said that basically the Wii was an expensive toy, whereas the PlayStation 3 is going to be the hub of multimedia in your home. I don't know anybody out there who's going to use it as the hub of multimedia in their home, because it's only going to play the crippled Blu-ray discs. So, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the ideas for how DVD playback's going to work. I mean, on the for instance, on the original Xbox and the original PlayStation 2, if you wanted a DVD playback, you had to buy the remote. Well, at least on the Xbox 360, they fixed that, and you can still play your DVDs with just the controller. So that's kind of... We'll see exactly how far that goes. I just thought I'd throw that out there and let people know. Now, put this one in somebody who should have been treated with a LART, but apparently a 80-year-old man so believed his GPS that he followed it to the detriment of he and his wife. They were following the directions on their GPS, an elderly German motorist, driving past road-closed signs, and he had a all-wheel-drive vehicle, 4MATIC BMW, I believe. You know, it's like looks like some kind of old Land Rover, but still. He turned on the four-wheel drive and just kept going until he and his wife got stuck horribly on a sand dune in the middle of the road work they were supposed to be working on. So, yeah, he kind of plowed over stop signs, plowed over, I mean, just everything else. The road wasn't completed, and he was driving on it, but just because the GPS said so. And according to the article over at Engadget, the horrible part wasn't the fact that he did it. I mean, because, yes, that's bad, but, I mean, all right, he's 80. You would hope somebody else would be able to, you know, drive a little sense into him, maybe. But no. The bad part was his wife was in the car with him and didn't see a problem with where he was going. She just said, okay, maybe the thing made a mistake. Your car got stuck in the middle of construction because you didn't pay attention to the large signs. So they end up their article saying, apparently two heads are not always better than one. We can only hope, you know, that they haven't bred. So we'll see. All right, next up here, I love little bits of technology that are, you know, stupid things. I mean, they might not necessarily be, you know, like the next PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, or, you know, some massive podcasting utility. No. They might just be simplified ways of using things, you know, modern conveniences, shall we say. Now, I don't necessarily know if this is a tech item, but this is a one-click butter cutter. Yes, you heard me right. This is all about butter here. Well, we're doing recipes later on in the show, so figure throw a little bit of food tech out in the beginning. This is a little device, kind of looks like a cylinder, maybe about twice the height of a butter stick. You keep it in your refrigerator, and you drop the butter stick in the top, and when you want to have a perfectly sized pat of butter, you squeeze it, and one single pat comes out. This is an awesome idea. I mean, people, some of the comments below it are like, well, if you could adjust the size. No, you don't understand. It's all about simplicity. If, for instance, if each one of these is like one teaspoon of butter, or half a teaspoon of butter, and the recipe that you're trying to use these things to measure calls for 2 teaspoons, then you just click it 4 times and you're done. That's it. There is no adjustability. I mean, the creeping featurism is a part of the problem with a lot of the things now. I mean, everybody gets so used to the idea of being able to tweak and, you know, fiddle with every little thing that's in their computer, every little thing that's in their life, that, you know, some of the basic functionality gets lost. So I just thought this was awesome, decided to put that out there. You know, I'm really thinking about actually getting it because it just looks so cool. And directly related to this, and actually linked off of that article, is what good is butter without a little toast? They have the world's coolest toaster oven. This is a... has a computer power button on it, so it looks really cool. It's a little half cylinder shape that lays on the desk or wherever else you're going to use it, and two sheets of glass that goes straight up, just enough to fit one slice of bread in there. So you put the slice of bread in there, you hit the button, and you can see it cooking. So there's no more burnt toast. You don't have to worry about it. They didn't say exactly how much this costs. But it's just awesome. I mean, actually linked up. It might actually be a concept idea, so I don't know. But still, just really cool. I just really like the idea. It's just such an innovative way. I mean, it almost looks like one of those scanners that stands vertically. The only thing is, I know from experience and a couple people in work, and you know, I've used one once. They're kind of crappy, but these things look pretty cool. So, just thought I'd pass that along to people. So, if you'd like to find all this stuff, we still have a couple more things to talk about. Please head on over to caffeination.com or send us an email at caffeination@gmail.com so we can send you out the show notes. We do a show notes with every podcast so that you have all the links and everything else that's associated with the show and everything else that's going on. So, figure, you know, it's an easier way to listen to the show. A lot of people listen to the show when they're at their computer, and they might hear something that I'm babbling on about midway through the show, but they don't necessarily, have the time to click on it at that very point in time. So you can refer back to your email with the show notes, or you can head on over to caffeination.com because everything's there. I don't talk about links without putting them in the show notes because I that always irritated me. There's certain shows, for instance, Adam Curry's over at curry.com. He has a great show over there sometimes. He gets a little preachy other times, but still... great show. Sometimes he talks about services and things, and he doesn't necessarily put the link. So, you know, I have to go back through and try and find where in the show he had this little thing, so I can try and if he spelled it out or whatever else. But still, I always put him up there, so hopefully people will find that interesting. All right, the next thing is just cool. I don't care what anybody says. It's another USB gadget thing. It's a 4-port USB device. The thing is, imagine a Rubik's Cube, one row from a Rubik's Cube. Plug a USB into the end of it, and then all along the next four cylinders, each one can rotate at any angle, 360 degrees. They all spin along a central axis, but they're like, imagine holding a pen and having the parts up and down the pen spin. So each block is a USB port. This just looks cool, so I don't care what anybody else thinks. Apparently it's going to be $22 or $26, so hey, I don't know if you need an AC adapter for it or anything. It's just a plain USB hub, but still, it's pretty cool. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah, if you are a Sprint customer in the United States, at least, they have changed the, this is just a little thing that I found over at Gizmodo, so I wanted to let people know, you know, try and help people out where they can. If you are dissatisfied with your Sprint service, you have a get-out-of-jail-free card right now. Basically what this is they have made a change to your contract, whether you know it or not. Whereas text messages used to be 10 cents a message, now they're 15 cents. This constitutes, according to this website, a material change in your contract. Basically, they're changing the fees to use certain things. So whenever you make a material change in a contract, their contract states that you have 30 days to void that contract with no penalty. So instead of having to pay for the rest of your service or anything else, if you're trying to get out and you're trying to get onto somebody else's plan or whatever, this is a perfect time to do it. You can have up until October 31st. So, you know, head on over there, cancel them if you feel like doing it. Still, I think this is actually going to be, depending on how much publicity this gets, this is going to be a really good thing for Sprint to, like a good metric to see exactly how they're treating their users. Because, I mean, if everybody just all of a sudden leaves, then they know they have serious problems. First of all, I think 15 cents and 10 cents even is a little bit steep for text messaging. I think it's just kind of ridiculous. It's what, maybe like 200K of data? So, I mean, if you've listened to me on the data charges with cell phones, you'll know I think it's all highway robbery. So, we're just going to ignore that. All right. And then finally, the return of an old favorite, at least by me. Nobody else ever seemed to care one way or another, but Tidit Today. today is This Day in Tech. Well, we actually had something which kind of beat me over the head and made me pull this out of the closet. So today, here's your information for today. Today, October 11th, 2006, is the 30th birthday. Can't even speak. The 30th birthday of the VHS tape. So yes, VHS, which eventually won the matchup with Betamax, at least in the United States. I think there's some countries where they still use Betamax, but still. The format was first created 30 years ago. Apparently the sale started today. So nobody's planning on doing anything, so eh. Just thought you might want to know. All right, rock on into the general information here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Our show is also listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site. Has a whole bunch of shows that listed over there. It's similar to MySpace, but it's all podcasts. So it's a pretty interesting podcast and podcast listeners. So you can head on over there, see what I'm listening to, and see what couple of the other shows are in the network and see exactly how that goes. You can check later on this evening or tomorrow morning for the blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog, my own personal thoughts on something I might have talked to about today. So it's probably going to be on creeping featureism, at least at this point. That's what I think it's probably going to be on. So you're usually in for a pretty good rant over there. I usually kind of try and save it up, get all the vitriol out, you know what I mean? So last note is back to the grind. Yes, we are at work, so you're going to hear a lot of caffeinated bits, because I find that when I'm in work, I'm slightly more caffeinated than when I'm not, because I need, I guess I just need that extra kick in the rear end to make it through the day, and like I said, I am an island in work, so it's kind of fun sometimes hearing the different problems, and then every once in a while, people forget that you're actually there, so you hear somebody like talking about you or giving you guff, and I love the word guff, by the way. So if you hear somebody talking about you or anything else, and you're right there, so it's like, oh yeah, I guess you forgot. There's only one technologist in these two floors of the building, and you happen to be complaining about him right next to his office. Maybe you need to do a little spatial location before you start flipping out. Still, it's pretty good. So all right, on to the next musical number here from the PodSafe Music Network. Again, we have a relatively well-known artist, Fall Out Boy. So here's Fall Out Boy with their song Dead on Arrival. Let me know what you think of this selection from the PodSafe Music Network. again, that was Fall Out Boy and their song... Oh, wait, lost it for a second. Dead on Arrival from the PodSafe Music Network. So, like I said, it's awesome to be able to play songs and, well, maybe songs, but definitely artists that people know. So happy to pass that along to you. Hope that you enjoyed hearing it as much as I enjoyed getting the ability to play it. I think I probably would enjoy being a DJ on a radio station, but I also like picking my own music, so I don't think that's necessarily the... place to go right now. So on to the caffeinated bits section today, and I know I said we might run a little bit long, and it's quite possible that we could, but I'd like to think that this is one of those times where you're actually getting more information than you normally would, basically because I've been so wired tonight, had a real good high protein dinner in me, so I had plenty of little caffeine and wired up to do the show, so we are wired for sound here. I like to believe that you got a lot more information in the same amount of time thus far than normally you would, so we kind of burned through a couple things there. If there's anything else you'd like to hear me talk about or expand upon, or you just feel like emailing me to tell me I'm full of crap, then you can email me at caffeination@gmail.com. You can find this podcast, if you're listening to this on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And as always, our MySpace friends account is over at myspace.com/caffeination. All right, caffeinated bits. Now, we have kind of a little complaint on my own part, and it's from me, about me, to me. So here's what it is. It's more of the same. Every time I go to work, I always buy the same brand of coffee, and basically because I get stuck on one thing. Right now, it's the Chock Full of Nuts coffee, and it's just, I've had the different varietals that they've had, and I'm getting a little tired of it, gotta say. I mean, it's just been, since I drink so much coffee when I'm actually in work, I think maybe I wear out one sensor in my mouth on, you know, like, this is the Chock Full of Nuts sensor, but still. It just sounds weird, but still, so I'm going to definitely be switching it up, and I'm going to be trying a couple of the tricks that I've been trying at home lately, and I don't know why, again, complaining about myself, to myself, for myself, but still, I don't know why that I haven't started trying to bring these tricks into work. Maybe it's the time in the morning, I don't have enough time to collect everything, but I think I might do it still. One of the tricks that I'd like to talk to you about is one of the things I've been doing lately is spiced coffee. Now, this isn't the same as flavored coffee. So what you do is, in your normal brew of coffee, it usually works best with non-flavored varieties, so either dark, light, breakfast blend, whatever else, as long as it's not like Irish cream, because it might just taste odd at that point. So what you do is you take in the basket, you sprinkle a little bit of spice. Now, the spices that I've been using with mixed success are cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. So I've also had a little bit of allspice in there, and that tasted pretty good. So the one that you would think would probably taste the best, it actually tasted the worst. Cinnamon is the one that people usually pick right out of the bunch and say, you know what, that's going to taste awesome. No, it doesn't. It tastes like crap, just for one particular reason. Cinnamon by nature is a very bitter spice. It has kind of like a to it, you know, a little, and so but at the same time, coffee has the same kind of little, you know, pop to it, so they don't necessarily meld well together. In fact, it makes a very bitter cup of coffee one way or another, so I don't care who you are, it just doesn't seem to be the best foot forward for either ingredient. So I would deter you from the cinnamon, but if you feel like trying it, go ahead. But the best spice that I found so far is either nutmeg or cloves. Now, when I was younger and slightly stupider, I used to smoke clove cigarettes, basically because I loved the smell. So I'd never realized until much later on that it was actually a cooking spice, but still, you know, whatever. I love the taste of it because it's almost a sweet spice. It has definitely a fullness to it that brings out a lot of the coffee aroma and a lot of the coffee just I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it brings out most of the flavors in the coffee. It's a much more robust cup of coffee when you put a little bit of clove in the basket. Now, you put these spices in with the grinds so that they get heated and they do the whole nine yards with everything else, and it gives you a nice emulsion, gives you a nice mix as it goes through. Now, don't add too much spice, because I actually did this with the cinnamon, because I was like, I'm never going to be able to taste, like, one shake. So I, covered the top of coffee with cinnamon, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is a real nice strong blend. And what happened was the smaller particles of the cinnamon sifted gently down to the bottom basket of the basket where the cloth filter at the time was sitting there, and overflowed the coffee pot because they clogged the filter completely. So definitely be less than generous with your spices, because a little bit goes a long way. So on to the next part here at the Caffeination. People asked for recipes, and I finally went online and found a recipe which I'm going to be trying within the next couple weeks for tiramisu. I love tiramisu. There is nothing better at the end of a good hearty Italian meal than a nice slice of tiramisu. It's just, it is really a slice of heaven. It has everything that you could possibly want, and it's made with coffee, which makes it that much better. So if you have a tiramisu with a nice cup of smooth coffee, then you are well ahead of the game to be caffeinated well into the evening. And that's what we really strive for here at the Caffeination. So, you can head on over there, and they have three different varieties that you can try. Basically, most people don't understand exactly what goes into a tiramisu, so I wanted to kind of tell you what it is. Basically, it's a kind of a Italian cheese. It's eggs, sugar, espresso coffee, ladyfingers, liqueur, and cocoa. So it not only is cocoa caffeinated, but so is coffee. And if you use coffee liqueur, well, then, you know. I don't think it's actually coffee liqueur, but still. I just wanted to point that out. And then there's a fun site that I go to from time to time for information, news, whatever else. I should start submitting articles there, because they actually have a little banner ad. And the only way you can get your site into the banner ad rotation is by submitting stories to them. So I really need to start submitting stories, because the Caffeination is probably a very good place to... thing to advertise on their site. The site is ineedcoffee.com. I've talked about it a little bit before, but here is a link directly to their directly to their recipe compendium. Now, this is all of the different recipes that they've collected over the time. It tells you how to make just an espresso martini, espresso pumpkin pie, Mexican coffee. I mean, they just have recipe after recipe after recipe. And the one I wanted to share with you tonight is how to make Mexican coffee. Now, everybody's had Irish coffee. Now, what this is you take fresh drip coffee, 1 ounce of white tequila, and 1 ounce of cacao liquor or syrup, and then whipped cream. You mix it all together, and there you go. I have a little special one for you. Now, this is a recipe that I myself came up with, and I've been drinking it over the past week or so, and it was kind of one of those days where, you know, like I said, I love mixing things around, so figure, you know, why not try something out? And I've been reading my bartender's guide, because I have one of those, and it said, you know, you can mix milk in with different things, and some of the things I really hadn't thought you could. So what I did was I took an empty glass, a nice tall mug, put about an inch and a half, or about, you know, 6 centimeters of milk at the bottom. I think 6, maybe go for 4 centimeters. About 1 thumb's width worth of, so that's probably like 3 or 4 centimeters, but 1 thumb and a half width of milk at the bottom of the glass. You take 1 scoop of instant coffee, put that on top of that, 1 level teaspoon of your sweetener of choice. I've been using sugar or Splenda. So then you take Coke. Yes, normal Coca-Cola, no flavors here, and you pour it gently over the mixture that you've created. Now, it's going to foam, so watch out at the top of the glass, but after you have all the Coke in there, you stir it very gently, trying to mix all the ingredients. Now, the Coke should, by nature, stir the emulsion up. Now, you might wonder what exactly this concoction tastes like. Well, if you've ever had a root beer float, now imagine a root beer float with coffee ice cream. That's exactly what this tastes like. It's completely liquid, and if you stir it up nice and good, the foam in the Coca-Cola actually brings the cream in the milk slowly through the entire drink all the way up to the top, and almost creates a head on it like a beer. So if you let that head sit there nice and good until you have about quarter inch or a pinky's width of foam up at the top, then you drink it. It is to die for. I love this thing, and I know it's not necessarily the best thing in the world for me, because I'm not a real big soda drinker anyway, and I don't need anything that's actually going to force soda down my throat. So, but still, I would heartily recommend that, and I'm probably going to be submitting that recipe over to ineedcoffee.com. But still, we've had a great turnout here at the Caffeination. We'd like to thank everybody that's been listening, all the people that have been sending out comments, both good and bad. been a great time. I've had a great time serving you, had a great time giving you information and news. If there's anything you think I could be doing a little bit better, please do not hesitate to let me know. This is going to be one of our longer shows tonight, so I figure I might as well cut it off right here, because I know I could talk for a little bit more. Figure I might want to get a couple things out there first, though. You can find this show over at www.caffinaton.com or caffeination.com. You can email us comments, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending our way. Or if you feel like joining the listserv and getting our show notes, you can send me an email over at caffeination@gmail.com. As always, you can go on over to myspace.com/caffeination to join our MySpace friends account. And our personal blog is located over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So thanks, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.